You think this is going to boost us in the rankings?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Strategy. This is a sell for Apple Music. No, I really don't understand why iTunes. So wait, you used to organize your music in iTunes? By the way, you're listening to Rap Sucks Radio. So yeah, we're going to continue with this one. So you, that'll be my opening question. You organize your music in iTunes?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Because, first of all, no, I am not the most forward technologically advanced DJ, but I'm more technologically advanced than your ass. So shut up. Not you. Anyone who talks trash. But the thing about iTunes is that I found good, and I'm running an old version of iTunes that still does a lot of stuff that iTunes used to do that was helpful for organizing music as a DJ that I don't think it can still do, and then iTunes is supposed to be dying. So I have these, like, part of the backup data that is not going to get lost is making sure that I have the install files for those, as long as OSs will still take them. But yeah, there's some of the stuff, because I would use multiple platforms too. So if you, and most of the platforms will, you can import iTunes structure, playlist structure.
Right.
So if you're using Rekordbox, or if you're using, I think Traktor does it too, which I don't use, but Serato for sure. And then when I was using Torque, which is...
you were using Torque.
You're the reason I was using Torque, though.
No, you were using it, though. Why am I the reason?
Because you were DJing? You are the reason I was using it.
Because you were DJing for the shows?
No.
Okay, why? No. Okay, what did I have to do with Torque?
This is all your fault. This is what happened. I used to DJ for a rapper.
Okay.
And he was my friend before.
Was.
And we collectively bought a Serato box.
Yes.
And things were great.
Okay.
Life could not have been better.
Oh, we started using the Serato box. I'm trying to cut the story down because it's not that exciting to the people. You blaming me for Torque.
What people? And then I moved, and I generously said, you know what? If you need it, let me just leave it here with you. Because what am I going to do with it?
Right.
You're the rapper. Of course you need a Serato box.
Okay, first of all, I was doing DJ gigs, and you know who really used it was 60. He used it more than anybody else.
Well, you don't have to bring 60 into this. I mean, don't be a dick.
I'm just saying. I was doing gigs. I was dope. Until I cleared out Pig and Whistle one night, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore.
Wow. embarrassing. That's been, when I didn't expect a DJ, and I go over there, and I'm like, okay, well, I get a gig. I'm not going to go buy a new Serato box, because who knows? I might be back home in a year. This might be the last DJ gig I get. So I get Torque, which is like half the price, and then end up using the hell out of it.
That was so wild, yo. I used to be like, wait, what? For real?
I guarantee you there were at least two or three people who bought Torque just because they saw me using it so much.
It was relatively useful initially because it was the battle of like what would come out on top. But yes,
it was never going to be Torque. It was... All right. What's the name of this show called? Shit DJs?
This is called Rap Sucks Radio. You guys are live on Rap Sucks Radio, man. Oh, my God. Yo, this is how we start the show off. We'll see y'all on the other side, man. Rap Sucks Radio. Welcome back to Rap Sucks Radio 2020 Season 2 with your homeboy Track Life and your fam Kev Sakota.
What up?
I'm totally missing the snapback meeting. It was supposed to be a mandatory meeting and I completely forgot about it. Shout out to snapback. And I got a text like, yo, are you calling into the meeting? I was like, I'm actually recording right now, so nah. Oh, my bad, yo. My bad, Stubbs. You know what I'm saying?
That's dope that they have mandatory meetings, though. That's a level of organization that I've never been a part of.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah. And in true I mean, I don't hate snapback meetings, but I just generally hate meetings. you know what I'm saying? So I don't want to make it sound like the snapback meetings are things I hate. Snapback meetings, Rap Sucks Radio meetings, I'm actually fine with those. But every other meeting, including meetings I used to have with labels, I'm like, dude, I got to go talk to you. Did you not listen to the record? Like, do you like it? What? Why are we talking right now? So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of meetings.
Label meetings are weird.
They are weird.
I just got finished telling wifey about, because I told you we went to a anniversary party last night, right? So it was some real grown folks kind of thing.
Yeah, y'all was out
and
there.
And congratulations
doing it.
To the couple. It was cool.
Word up.
Great food. And it wasn't crazy, you know. But the playlist was all music from mostly from the early 2000s. So Little John comes on, and I get to telling wifey about how when Warner did the deal with Little John, a lot of us flew down to Miami. And the best of my recollection, very soon you're going to understand why I don't have an entire recollection of why or what happened.
Okay.
To the best of my recollection, our quote-unquote meetings consisted of us sitting by a pool deck getting so drunk. Little John would not, and Little John is maybe an inch or two taller than me, and probably about 40 pounds lighter than me, would not stop handing us drinks.
That's wild.
And I remember sitting there and I on the pool deck, and I don't remember anything else.
But the deal got done.
And that's, you know, that's a good meeting.
That's all that matters.
So if the snapback meeting is not like that, hey, you know,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would be calling into the meeting, so I'd be handing myself drinks the whole meeting, but yeah.
Well, that's a good meeting.
That is a great meeting. Any meeting from home is much better. Actually, I don't think I've ever said the word meeting as much as I've said it in the last like 45 seconds. Yeah. But with all that,
what are we even doing? What's going on?
Tripping. You can catch us at rapsucksradio.com. We won't. Yeah.
I'd say we're doing too much.
Yeah. Doing too much. Matter of fact, I'm over under. Okay. How many episodes before that gets old?
I'm going to go with another 40.
Right.
By the way, also, everyone needs to know that Trek unilaterally decided that season one ended.
Interesting. I actually tried to have a meeting that we didn't have on Friday.
You did. You
we
did.
I did totally not have one Saturday. Where I was going to bring this up.
You have paid me the courtesy of I'm shocked at how diligent you are. Like when we planned to get together and you were like, early in the morning, hit me. Like, it ain't happening. So on Friday, I was like, you know what? I have so much to do. I should not go and see this dude because I know it's going to happen.
Right.
So yeah. Relatively early in the morning, I was like, not happening. Little did I know, I was seeding the decision-making power on the end of season one, which had already ended, by the way. There was no plot twist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There was no cliffhanger.
There is no cliffhanger. It was over.
It just ended.
It ended. It was a year.
It was like The Sopranos.
Yeah. We're actually having the meeting on and live right now. Like, okay, so here's the thing. Seasons will be yearly, and the title will change every year.
Really? The title of the podcast?
I mean, the title of the opening, like, so Out Here Tripping is now doing too much, and then it'll continue to change every year.
Well, already you've put way more thought into it than I have, so I'm good with that.
All right. Well, you know who's doing too much this week? Judge Don Gentry of Kentucky.
Oh, right, you are.
Wait. Or doing too... All right. That'll be explained in a minute. The reason why is because a Kentucky family court judge has been suspended with pay, Kev, with pay.
Oh, yeah.
After she was accused of misconduct, including an allegation that she had a threesome in the courthouse.
Whoa, wait, hold on. You said including.
including.
Does that mean there are other things?
Whether they're like next level like that or not is arguable, but there are other things. Your title for this, and this is a callback to an episode.
Season one. Previously on Rap Sucks Radio.
Previously on Rap Sucks Radio. Then they went to White Castle.
And shout it the fuck up.
But see, they would never, if they would have kicked it with Judge Don Gentry, they would have never ended up at the trouble in White Castle that they ended up in. See, you picked the wrong one. All reported by NBC News. Let's get into it. Don Gentry, a family court judge, in Kenton County in Kentucky's northern 16th judicial district, was charged with don't get it twisted. I don't want the 18th district coming after me. Multiple counts of misconduct in November 2019 by the State Judicial Conduct Committee. She was put on paid suspension. Pending a final decision. Let's see what she's accused of real quick. Okay. There's a couple things, because it was like four paragraphs of this. I was like, dang, I don't even know if we should really talk about all this. But then we talked about meetings for 5 minutes, and maybe I could have put all that information in. Anyway. Gentry is accused of coercing court staff to work on her judicial election campaign, retaliating against employees who failed to support her campaign, and hiring a man with whom she had a sexual relationship, according to a conduct committee document outlining the charges. She denies all accusations. The judge, who was elected in November 2018, so she got busy if all of this is true. Because that's November, fam. It's January right now. This article dropped in December.
She's the Diego Stilt of Kentucky. Kentucky jurisprudence.
She was like, give me a year, I'll turn this place around, or I'll just turn this place out. Anyway, she was elected in 2018. Is alleged to have hired her lover, a former pastor. This doesn't stop getting fresh. This won't stop getting better. Okay. A former pastor, and allowed him to play guitar and sing in the office, disrupting other court employees during the workday, according to the documents. An attorney for Gentry said she didn't realize that the man's behavior was a distraction, the documents show. Gentry, her male lover, and a third court employee, a woman, are also alleged to have engaged in sexual activity in the courthouse. Gentry denies that allegation as well, according to court documents.
I did all that other stuff.
Well, the only thing she's not denying so far is that homie was playing guitar around. But then there's another one that I didn't write down, but I didn't put in the notes. But she's also accused of bringing her child to work and having them sit in on important and private legal matters, including an instance where her child noticed the child of the defendant or plaintiff in a case. So yeah, like, oh, man,
doing too much.
I just why does MC Hammer turn this mother out play this whole time? Like, she just came in that joint.
Wow. It's a comment on gender equality in the workplace.
Right.
Because it just goes to show you that a woman has to work so much harder than a man to achieve the kind of recognition that men have achieved for years for doing the exact same thing.
So wild, yeah.
She really had to. She's the I was going to say she's the Jackie Robinson of slimy Kentucky court judges. That may be a bit of a stretch.
That might be a bit of a stretch. Yeah. She, fam, was walking around the office playing the guitar, though. Like,
well,
I can't say the dude's last name, you know, the Hawaiian singer that sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but for some reason, that's like what I thought was happening. Like, dude was just it's walking around playing the guitar singing Israel's version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I'm done. I'm done with this whole topic. Like, who does this? Is there anybody on the planet that does this outside of Dawn?
I'm literally convinced. First of all, it would be great if one of the Jeopardy greatest goats could say his last name.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome. All my Hawaiian listeners, I think I disappoint my Hawaiian listeners every single time. Well,
can they say it either though?
I mean, can they?
I can't. I'm asking, can they? Because really, saying, like, if you see him, you're just gonna be like, oh, well, you're not gonna see him now because he's passed. So, you know, rest in peace. But you just be, hey, big man. Can you sing the song?
For real.
Come on.
For real.
My kid is here. But I'm convinced that at this point, if you only read the news, you have to be convinced that it's literally only high school students and judges who are getting any kind of action.
At this point, right? At this point, yeah. That seems like about it. That, you know, the wrong chosen profession is to be anything but a judge if you're trying to get some. Because judges is out here getting it.
Yes. Oh, she didn't understand what family court meant.
Unless you're in Indianapolis, at which point you just get, you know, beat down and bucked at White Castle.
Too much.
Doing too much. Yo, still doing too much though. Like this one pissed me off. But I do want to connect this next topic to, you know, I mean, we're doing the past episode connection thing because we got on. Is it Melania or Melanie? Like, how do you say Mrs. Trump's name?
I don't care.
Okay, fine. I
believe it's Melania.
Melania, because my daughter corrected me. So Melania.
Well, you let her hear. Oh my God, dude, come on.
No, see, you don't even know if it was the episode. It was, but you didn't know that. So okay, well, all right, fine. Melania, we got on Melania for something similar or whatever. But let's get this. So your title to this is "Let Your Thumbs Get Your Teeth Not Clean Out."
Oh, okay. So we're jumping to that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to spend too much more time on Dawn and her threesomes and you know, guitar playing boyfriend and illegal campaign running and we're done with her.
We're talking about the kids. We're here for the kids.
Vanity Fair writer mocks a 7-year-old Blue Ivy Carter for looking like her father Jay-Z, reports the Griot.
Right.
In a since-deleted tweet, Vanity Fair film critic K. Austin Collins attacked 7-year-old Blue Ivy Carter, daughter of Beyoncé and Jay-Z, for having the audacity to look like her rapper father. Here's her quote. "I have a feeling the Jay-Z face genes are about to really hit Blue Ivy, and I feel sorry for her," Collins tweeted. The tweet comes after Beyoncé posted a photo and video of Blue Ivy as part of her end of year recap. Collins' cruel joke. This is the cruel. All of this is me reading from the Griot, so I'm not adding anything here. This is their opinion. Collins' cruel joke was co-signed by journalist Violet Luca, who works at Harper's Magazine. She quotes and says, Luca says, Miss Violet Luca says, "Or she'll just get plastic surgery at 16, a la Kylie Jenner, and we'll all have to pretend that she's always looked that way. I can't allow myself to feel sorry for the incredibly rich."
So much shade. So much shade.
Yeah, a lot of shade. Good job, Luca. Collins is
apologized. Let me ask you this.
For it.
So was Collins, K. Collins, whatever the hell, a female as well?
I think so. That's what I gathered.
Because I, from the headline, I took it that it says black journalist, Mock. So I assumed it was a dude.
I don't know. I honestly assumed it was a woman.
Because, you know, we're not good when it comes to preventing ourselves from speaking recklessly about stupid things that we should keep our mouth shut about. But evidently, we're good.
Yeah, no, we're better at this than women are. Women are will go and, you know, all the women listening, this is your bailiwick right here. This is where women get down.
Nice use of the word bailiwick.
You know what, man? I'm working on it. I've always wanted to use that in a sentence, so thank you, Rap Sucks Radio. I did it.
Yeah. I think we can just stop right now.
We should. Okay, show's over, y'all. Thank y'all for listening. No. Season 2 has ended. No. just the quote alone just makes me feel like it was a woman. I have a feeling the Jay-Z face jeans are about to really hit Blue Ivy, and I feel so sorry for her. That don't seem like something a dude would say, but it very well could be. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Ugh. Terrible.
Collins did apologize, saying, "I'm sorry about the Blue Ivy tweet. It's a bad joke, and black girls in particular deserve better." I'm sorry, man. It's too late. Whatever. It's too late. Like, don't even... You know what I'm saying? Like, don't even jump on that train at this point. You way off the track now, Sean. Like, you done. It's way too late for that apology.
Yeah, I mean, this is... So... Part of we talk a lot about being a grown-ass human being, right? Part of being a grown-ass human being is knowing that it's very easy to call Jay, super ugly.
Sure.
You know, without it having to fall back on the kid in any kind of way, right?
Absolutely.
And then he will continue to not care about your entire existence. That's how it works.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But why you gotta do that, man?
So here's the thing.
What do you expect? I mean, first of all, who do you expect her to look like?
Well, they're doing the thing that people do when they feel like someone is too attractive or unattractive for the other person, right? So this is a lash out at Jay for, you know,
that's what
marrying
I'm getting
Beyonce
at.
To begin with. Yeah, we get it. You know, we get it. We understand. You know what I'm saying? But my thing here is, I don't know where the line is. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have these situations where these celebrities, whether it's Northwest being, you know, put out in pictures, you know what I'm saying, or Blue Ivy or whomever, like, people's children are put out to the forefront along with them when they're a celebrity, right? Melania and Barron, Trump or whatever, being criticized or not really criticized, but shots being thrown at Barron Trump.
Right.
I don't know where the line is. You know what I'm saying? Because they're out there for public view, which means there's an ability to, you know, have a public opinion. You know what I'm saying? And you're asking people to be, I don't know, just not be assholes? And that doesn't work out very well.
But now I kind of... You know? But now I also feel kind of bad, and I think I sort of, maybe I should just let it sit, but I sort of stepped on you reading the title, which is the same thing I posted when I saw this article.
Let your thumbs.
I just said, let your thumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you got it. Go ahead. I want to hear you say this shit. Go ahead.
I just said, let your thumbs get your teeth knocked clean out. I will be sexistly forthcoming in saying that when I said that, I assumed this was a dude.
But shoot, but you know what I'm saying?
Solange. But B might step up and knock that. Yeah, Solange.
Yeah, Solange might catch this tweet and get it cracking. You know, yeah, Beyonce
don't get stuck in an elevator.
Yeah. Solange will close the elevator door on you right now. You know what I mean? But like I said, man, that's my question to you, though. Like, where is the line? Because we had this conversation about Melania and Barron. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No, it's real easy. It's the easiest line to define, which is don't talk about the kids. Just don't talk about them.
Period.
Doesn't matter. Unless their name's Eric or Donald Jr., don't talk about them. Or Ivanka. Don't talk about them.
Those are full-blown adults. So
yeah, don't don't do it, because I guarantee you that when that does happen and you catch that L and your chin gets checked, there will be people of all colors, creeds, nationalities, and backgrounds who will look at you while you're laying on the ground and say, "You got knocked the fuck out."
Yeah, I feel like the consequence for this is the answer to that was the only answer I could come up with. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could talk about me, and you know, a person can get on Facebook and talk about me. Now, I have put my kids on my Instagram. I do it less now. I've done it less over the last maybe 7 or 8 months than I did before. Like, I just stopped posting pictures of them and with them, not for any other reason than my 12-year-old, I'll ask her permission. Like, "Hey, is it okay if I post this picture of us on?"
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's interesting.
Yeah, and I realized that I was doing this without their permission. Like, even my 4-year-old, I'm like, I didn't ask her if she wanted her picture on the internet. She may not want that.
Right.
You know? But you could say something about me, and I might laugh it off. You say something about my kids.
Oh, I do.
You say something about my kids, it's likely that I'll laugh that off, but a lot of people might find you. You know what I'm saying? And I think the consequence is okay. It's, I mean, short of killing you, like, nobody should kill you for talking, but if somebody busts your whole jaw off, that's what happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, just, I think you should leave people's kids out of the situation. And to be fair, for all those, like, red-blooded, red state listeners that may catch this show and feel one way or the other about our topic, range of topics, I actually felt the same way. And if you go back about Melania, I said, like, yeah, you know, I don't really think that Barron Trump is really up for discussion at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Also, Barron's size 15 foot will step on your entire head by himself anyway. So you should probably be well advised to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, as soon as he turns 18, just go at him. Or as soon as he involves himself in what his
shit,
family
man,
is
do
doing.
It now.
Yeah.
Don't get charged as an adult. The kid is 18 feet tall. I'm not messing with him.
It's a huge kid, man. It's a huge kid, you know.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's and yeah, I may, you know, there, you may get one quick look at my daughter on social media per year, literally,
right?
And that's by design, but also just like, yeah, and it's not because I don't want to, you know. It's for no other reason that I'm like, eh, whatever. But, you know, I don't talk about it also because it's like, I don't want to make every single other person who's a friend of mine feel any kind of way bad about being proud of their child or whatever. It's like, I love that, you know?
Yeah.
I love seeing your kids. You know, it's all good.
Yeah.
But yeah, my kid, it's like, I'll talk about her all the time. I'll quote her all day long.
All day.
She says crazy stuff all day long. But I don't put her name on there. And you know what I'm saying? And nothing like that. And it's just like, oh yeah, because, you know, at some point someone's gonna say something stupid. And then I am going to have an urge to kill you.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do it. But do you really want that?
Well, I don't understand.
Friend? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, come on.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a clownish thing to do, especially in the position of a writer for Vanity Fair or any publication for that matter. But it's just kind of a clown thing to do. Like, I notice people do it on Twitter, and
they're on it all the time too. You know, they're posting all the time. I wanted to think that, like, they were drunk,
right?
You know, and they did something stupid or whatever. It's like, just don't do that anymore.
Yeah, well, let me double down on my thoughts on this. Twitter seems like a place for unhappy people. And I mean that. Like, I'm not even really being funny. Like, it just seems like a place for unhappy people. Now, I know that what is popular on Twitter is the negativity. You know what I'm saying? So I know that I'm being, you know, highly judgmental by saying this. But if you're under the Blue Ivy tweet, you're agreeing or responding, it's like, to me, there has to be a part of you that your humor is based on unhappiness. And let me back that point with this. you can point to me and say, well, what about comedians, right? And I will point back and say, well, a historic conversation about comedians is that they are generally depressed. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're hilarious.
Right.
But, you know, once they're off stage, they're depressed, right? So there is a level of unhappiness even in the greatest comedian's humor. Like, if you're patterning yourself behind that, you're still falling under my judgmental view. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have something to say. It's mean-spirited. You got thumbs. You get it cracking. I don't know if I really run like that. Like, I just look at people a little strange when they're like that. But, you know, I get it. It's all fun and games. And it's a distance and everything, you know?
That's all. First of all, most of the comedians out there now or in the past would not have made any kind of joke about that. A lot of comedians make jokes about, you know, Bush's daughters. Or I think Jimmy Carter's daughter, but it's like, this is not that. This is, you're just saying some silly. It's not funny. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I know you think it was funny, but that chin ain't really funny. So, and it goes to the same conversation that we kind of had over, you know, like when I posted something when I was watching Eddie Murphy do the SNL.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I get it. If you're a comedian who thinks that so-called PC culture has gone too far, I get it. I'm going to hear you out. If you are someone who believes that being politically correct and being mindful of the things that you say is very important in respecting the people around you, I get that too.
Sure.
The main thing, if you're a comedian, and you know, I'm not a fucking comedian, but I know what your job is. If it's not funny, then shut the fuck up. Like, don't be unfunny doing that joke.
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't be unfunny doing the racist joke. Don't be unfunny talking about someone's kids. If you can really get it off, go ahead and do what you gotta do.
Right.
You know, but yeah, the only people that I want to hear, the only comedians I want to hear talking about, you know, the potential downfalls of PC culture, as white dudes are Joe Rogan and Bill Burr,
and
anyone else can shut the hell up.
Both of them, both of them got to shut up too. Here's my thing about the PC culture thing. Shut the fuck up. That's my thing about it. Because this is where I stand on the whole like anti-PC culture thing. You feel like you should be able to say everything you want to say and not receive a response for it. And I think that makes you the sensitive person. You know what I'm saying? Sure, it's your profession to tell jokes, and we should all accept that these are jokes. But they're also real people, right? If a real person responds to you and says, like, yo, I don't like that, or that shit was trash, or causes, you know, some people bubble up a response, well, you're attempting to be provocative to begin with. You're aware that you're being provocative. Like, part of your whole makeup is to be provocative. You know what I'm saying? And then you achieve... My bad. You receive a response for being provocative, and all of a sudden, the rest of the world is crazy. I'm like, no, you're a cow. You're a punk. To me, you sound like a punk. You know what I'm saying? Like,
go ahead.
Real quick, if I'm gonna tell a joke, you know, which is something I generally don't do, is go in on other races like that. Like, you don't even see me going on white people like that. Like, I just don't really do that. It's not my thing. You know what I'm saying? Might here or there say something, but I just don't do that. But if I did. And someone got upset about it, well, I had a right to tell the joke, and they had a right to be upset. You know what I'm saying? It's not like one right is really treading on the other. And then a lot of these new comedians, my last point on the PC culture thing, they acting like this is new. Like George Carlin had this beautiful, comfortable career, you know what I'm saying, years ago, being an outspoken person who, you know, spoke harshly or spoke directly or whatever you want to call it, however you felt about it. It's not like old school comedians were able to get away with saying whatever they wanted to say either. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, don't be a punk, man. Just accept the fact that you're going to say something wild and it's wild enough to get a response and just deal with the response. You know what I'm saying? Deal with it.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, and that's why I mentioned those two guys, is because it's, to me, it is, if you are, for example, a white man in America who wants to be a comedian or who thinks of himself as a comedian or who is a comedian, if you're going to tell a joke about black folks,
right,
then you better go and kill as the keynote speaker for the NAACP convention. And if you don't get your teeth knocked out when you walk out of there, then maybe you did okay. If you're going to tell a joke about women, you better go and kill at the Planned Parenthood convention.
Right.
And if you walk out of there and some ladies don't beat the shit out of you, then maybe you're good. If that's how you want to test out your material, then do that. Otherwise, you're a white dude. There's a lot of shit you can talk about, man.
Well, to your point, I'm going to quote a white person real quick that I know is listening to this episode. You know what I'm saying? It's saying, well, what about the black comedians that do that? You realize, no,
but 360 is not white.
360 is not white. Well, that's arguable. That's arguable. Comedian Dennis Birch. No, Dave Chappelle's telling those jokes in front of white folks, in front of Asian folks. This isn't an all black audience exclusive to black. No, black comedians are telling those jokes right in front of you. It's not like you in the backwoods of Kentucky secretly telling these jokes. They telling these jokes out in the open. The more popular they get, the more they tell the jokes. Now, you got to be able to pull it off. I've heard some white comedians pull it off. Like, it's one white comedian, I can't remember his name right now, but he's able to slide them jokes in, and it's like, it's pretty funny to me.
But you're talking about Gary Owen?
It might be Gary Owen, but...
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna tell, if that's what you want to do and go and tell jokes, you know, that are racially tinged, and then go back to the hood and live where it's, or go back to any black community and live, or tell jokes about Mexican folks and go back to a Mexican community and live,
yeah,
or, you know, any equivalent to that, then cool. Dave Chappelle will go and tell white people jokes about the behavior of white people and then go live on a farm in a town in Ohio that's all white people.
Right? Like it ain't no big deal. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm kind of anti that. Like, what's homeboy? This isn't on the topic list real quick, but homeboy, the comedian that just spoke up at the award show or whatever, and he was supposed to, there was this whole thing about how he sunned Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, no, Ricky Gervais. Yeah, no, but he stood there in front of all the people he was talking shit about and talked shit about them, which is what, it's also his thing. It's what he does.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Now, let me gather this correctly, because I didn't watch it and I haven't heard it, so you gotta explain this to me. The premise of his joke was like basically fake wokeness. Am I tripping off of that? Did I get that right?
No, not at all.
Okay.
And that's the thing, is that it also didn't get captured in a lot of the write-ups in its full context.
Okay. Can you explain to me the context of the joke?
Yeah, I mean, he basically he talked about how, you know, and it's, you know, if you're going to poke fun at somebody, usually the way it's most effective is when, and again, I'm not speaking as an expert, but it's if there is a hint of reality that person you're talking shit about can recognize in themselves, and then you turn that corner to say, this is why you're full of shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is why he was saying, you all get paid a lot of money to fake it, and you come here in limos and all this, and you're rich, and you know... So when you win an award for doing all that acting, just come up here and give your speech and shut the fuck up. Don't talk, you know, and don't talk about anything else, you know. And that was just the, and the way he presented it was funny.
Right.
You know, it was basically like, y'all are full of shit. come on, you know, y'all are going to, you know, you're going to go home and the person who has been looking after your kids all night is probably not a white American person.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, right.
It's like, let's cut it out with the fake wokeness.
I disagree with everything.
Which I get, which is,
I disagree
totally,
with that entire premise. Like, I can't find much more. I can't find anything in my brain to disagree with it more. Here's the thing.
Okay.
As a black male who grew up half of my life in the suburbs, one of the general arguments when I speak out about, you know, things that happen to black folks, right? People say, non-black people, for the most part, say, yo, but you're from the suburbs, right? Which is not entirely true, part one. But more importantly, yeah, but that doesn't mean that that I should disconnect as soon as I'm out of whatever situation. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, I'd argue I should be more connected. The more fame I receive, the more I should be speaking to whatever issues are going on in my people's community, in the overall world of people who are not part of the percentage of people that I'm, you know what I'm saying? My profession as an actor or whatever, right, is my chosen profession. If I chose to be a mechanic, I'd be a mechanic. I'd be a damn good mechanic. If you know, I'm speaking for the actors and actresses that are going up there, right? But it's basically shut up and dribble. You know what I'm saying? It's basically shut up and act. Like if
that's the thing, you know? Is that to me it wasn't really that.
Okay, so it was framed that way. Okay.
No, it was a joke. And that's the thing, right? It was him knowing that every single award show for at least the past 3 or 4 years since this dude's been in office has been, you know, a platform.
Right, right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the most interesting thing he could do, and I'm not speaking for him, obviously, but to me, it's like the most, you know, interesting thing he can do as someone who always pushes that shit anyway, right? That edge, that boundary is to say, cut it out. Because then, you know, one, it was funny. Two, he can open a lane for it because everyone who got up there and said something anyway. Everyone who wanted to say something political said it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And said it eloquently. You know, so it wasn't like he was giving the State of the Union address. He was making a joke, which to me was pretty funny. You know, but also it was more directed at like, don't be the college student who protests Milo Yiannopoulos going to speak at Berkeley, but then go back to your dorm and complain about something that your black student neighbor is doing that bothers you.
Right, right, right.
Without going and speaking to that person. You know what I'm saying? Like,
That's Santa Monica racism.
There's a lot of that bullshit going on.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's Santa Monica racism. I get it. I totally get it. Okay, now I understand it. Because I didn't have the context. So I didn't really speak to it because I didn't really have the context. And honestly, outside of this show, I'm not really going to research anything like that. You know what I'm saying?
Nor should you. Because that goes against our creed.
It does go against creed, especially. Well, it just goes against my creed of researching things that comedians say that have some level of import. Like, all right, man, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Comedians are like, I don't have this belief that comedians are these like secret society destroyed, like the ones that speak the truth because they are. I'm like, man, shut up, man. Y'all tell jokes and them joints is funny. And a lot of times the funnier ones border reality. But whatever, man. Like, so many times I just want to be like, whatever, dude. Like, chill. Sit down. You know what I'm saying? I get it. You know, tell your joke and then go over there, man. Like, have a drink. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, again, don't let your thumbs Get your teeth knocked clean out of your face.
Yeah, don't do it. It's not the right thing to do.
Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Yeah, so anyway, jumping into the next topic real quick, though, because that was an off-topic topic. So this is what happens when you name your city after Columbus is the title. And it's so stupid. Dumb. Yo, two Mississippi men tried to scam the state lottery by submitting a losing ticket that had the winning numbers glued onto it.
Like retro Photoshop.
Get it. Get it in. I know that was fresh. NBC News reports the men involved in this, Otis Latham, age 47, and Russell Sparks. Otis and Russell, age 48.
Right?
That just sounds like a sitcom. Both of Columbus were arrested Monday and charged with uttering a counterfeit instrument over $1,000 and conspiracy. Flowood. Oh man, Volume 10 album. Get up off my Flowood. Anyway, Flowood Police Sergeant Adam Nelson said Latham was also charged with false identification information. So, lottery officials told the police that the men presented an altered $100,000 ticket that appeared to have the winning numbers glued onto it. The ticket was signed and presented for payment. And at that point, they got busted.
Wow. Now, did you happen to catch how much would they have won if they would have gone through?
$100,000.
So that was the full boat. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, that's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth the hustle.
But then I looked at the image of the ticket, and I was like, I can't really see where the... Oh, yeah, that's bad.
Oh, man. They tried.
But the way they did it, I was like, well, at least the way they did it made sense. I was like, can you just nudge that over a little? Like,
oh, what, really? Man. You almost had it, yo. It's like the commercial with the dude with the dollar on the fishing line. Like,
I'm just going to take a moment to get up on my soapbox, though, on behalf of my wife, and just acknowledge that this is the reason, shit like this is the reason why arts education is so crucially important in our communities.
Oh my God.
Because these two dumbasses, boy. Woo, man.
Hey.
Boy.
They should not spend a moment in jail. They should get, a pound and a hug, and everybody should be able to clown. Like, you tried it. You tried it, homie.
You tried it.
And then get sent back to the crib. You know what I'm saying?
Big Lotto is keeping the black man down in Ohio. Keeping the black man
down, yo. Otis and Russell, man. I got y'all. Fist in the air. I see what y'all tried to do.
It's one other thing that it's a fine detail that I want to really clarify is that why was one of the dude's bail twice as high as the other dude?
Because he was also charged with false identification information. So they all received the first one. So yeah, he had two charges. So I guess he's the one that presented his ID for.
I thought maybe he pulled the trigger on the glue gun.
Yeah, the numbers were just a little off. Just a little bit. Like, he was almost there, man. You almost made it. You know what I mean?
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside. Closeout topic, man. And I've added a title to your title.
Oh, okay. What's your title? Because I wasn't confident about my title.
Well, I'm going to say your title. 40-inch Skims.
Yeah,
Kim Kardashian rocks her Skims collection for the new year is the reason why this title exists. Billboard has stated this. The person involved is Kim K, right? Mm-hmm. The notes on this is that she took to Instagram on Wednesday, January 8th, to share a revealing photo leaning against the sofa in her closet. Sofa in her closet. Damn it. Decked in flesh-tone brown.
That's a lightweight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gangster humble brag.
It's a super humble brag. Decked in a flesh tone bra and panty set from her Skims collection.
You have my attention.
Kim Kardashian launched her Skims shapewear line in September with a number of undergarments and loungewear in a variety of sizes and colors. That, listeners, is basically that's it. That's what this topic is about. Kev's title is 40-inch Skims, right?
Right.
My title, in all caps, is why is this in our topic list? Why are we talking about this?
Because we are starting off a new year. We are starting off, more importantly, a new decade. And we need to... We've gotten a little bit full of ourselves, Trek. I gotta tell you. So we have to take it back to the classics.
I'm so tired. I thought we would make a year without this person. I don't have anything against her.
Well, clearly I missed that meeting because I would have told you. No. And she changed, by the way. Let's acknowledge the fact that she, being the woke member of Hollywood celebrity class that she is, changed the name from Kimono to Skims.
Well, yeah, after a fair amount of outrage because she was doing too much.
Again, if the Marines are ever deployed to Alaska,
yeah,
to fight some sort of war against ourselves, I guarantee you that they're going to call all the Eskimos Skims. But...
okay. In all caps.
The funny thing is that, and I just saw this today, not in any way to be outdone, her husband, mm-hmm. who you may have heard of, Kanye West, also started off the new year by riding in on a donkey.
Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, man. Come on, Kanye.
Happy New Year.
What happened? What happened to Ye? They play that Christ-like song on the radio now, though. Like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. I haven't listened to the record, so that's the only song I've heard off of that.
I don't know. How's the sound quality on it?
Yeah, it sounds like a scratchy sample record, but...
The Back to Life joint is dope.
I haven't heard that.
But he's not on that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
It's a choir singing Back to Life. I'm like, well, I'm with that. I'm good with that.
Well, the Christ-like joint is pretty fresh.
Okay.
I thought it was all right. You know what I'm saying? I think it's pretty funny how the dude will just kind of throw... I felt like he actually had an argument with his dad, then wrote a song and just delivered it. And that's why it sound like that. Like, he just was like... Man. Trying to capture the raw feeling or whatever, because you know, whatever, Kanye. But yeah, then you just told me that he rode in on a donkey, and I was like, all right, we'll see. Now I'm not going to press play.
He rode into somebody else's church on a donkey. Now, first of all, if you're going to ride into somebody's to a building that is zoned for non-zoological activity on a wild animal. Even if it's maybe not a wild animal, that may be judgmental on an animal who takes a shit at whenever they want. That's already a problem. But he rode in on the donkey and then he got thrown off the donkey in front of the congregation. Yeah. Yeah, that's a
oh my gosh.
That's a bad look.
That's a terrible look.
That wasn't on the rider.
That wasn't on thrown off the donkey. Oh my god, yo.
Oh man.
That's funny. Cause in the Bible, like a donkey spoke hella wisdom.
Uh-huh.
So that's basically the same thing happened to donkey. Yeah, people was like, "Preach, donkey, throw his ass out of here." All right, I'm done with Kanye.
By the way, the Donkey's album is coming out on all streaming services.
That donkey wrote Christ
in the month of April.
The donkey's the one that wrote and did the loop for Christ-like.
chop the sample.
Chop the sample up. He wanted his his payment, his producer credit.
Donkey Beats.
Yeah, man. All right. You are live on Rap Sucks Radio, man. We'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for listening. If you guys would like to catch past episodes, you can hit any of your podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, you name it, we on it. Maybe not Pandora. Are we still not on Pandora?
Man, I don't know, man. I got iTunes, man.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, you could, you know. Man, just go to Apple Podcasts, man. Rate us 5 stars. You know, give us positive feedback, positive comments. Like,
do whatever you want, man. Just do it.
Do all
rate us three stars and give us mediocre feedback. Who cares?
No. Don't go over there and do that. Just I'm trying to be like 60th by the end of the year at least. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to move up 100 spots. You know what I'm saying?
Out here having goals. Too much.
And keep having these self meetings and making changes. But yo, you also can catch us on RSR Podcast on Facebook, where we post articles of the things that we discuss, and you can catch us on Instagram, where we post a few clips from the show. So you, if you got some friends that are interested, you say, you know, instead of having them check out a whole episode, it's like, yo, just go to Instagram and check the clips out, though. These dudes are hilarious. So whatever you feel, you know, jump on that and let us know how much you like the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
This is Rap Sucks Radio with your homeboy Track Life and your fam Kev Sakota.
Donkey.
Donkey. And we out of here on the count of three. We say peace. If Kev can say that on time. 1, 2, three. Peace. Ugh, this is so.
That was whatever. Come on, man. That was pretty good.
It's just whatever. All right, man. Peace.
Turn me up in the headphones.